It's Central Time. I'm Keely Wolfina in for Rob Barrett. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, elementary school test scores are down nationwide. We learn more about how the pandemic disrupted learning and what we can do to help students catch up. First, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended the latest booster shot against COVID-19 last week for everyone 12 years and older. The new version targets both the original versions of the virus and two Omicron subvariants. Here's White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha yesterday talking about the new booster in a news conference.
For the last 2 years, this virus has continued evolving while our vaccines have stayed the same. But now we have a vaccine that matches the dominant strain out there.
We're talking about how these new boosters work, what kind of protection they'll offer, and how important they are ahead of a possible uptick in cases this fall and into the winter. And you can join in by calling 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? That number is 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Dan Shirley is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention at UW Health. He's also an assistant professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Shirley, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This booster is targeting the Omicron variant of the virus in addition to what it used to target. Why are vaccine makers making that addition?
Well, as you know, in this earlier report just said, the vaccine and the boosters have been targeting the original COVID this whole time, including through the summer when cases were still high. I think this is always what we imagined when we had the mRNA vaccine come out, is that we would be able to focus it on what's actually causing problems. And this is the first time where we've kind of caught up to what actually is causing disease in the community with a booster that is focused on that.
Why are mRNA vaccines better equipped to handle those adjustments in maybe not real time, but closer time?
Yeah, it's just that the backbone of the vaccine is the same, and you just kind of tweak it so that it's focused on the variants that you're interested in. I think this is kind of the evolution of vaccine technology. This is obviously important in making a focused vaccine, but along with that, we've also increased the efficiency of production and distribution so that the vaccines are ready much, much quicker than they were in past years.
Is there a risk that if future variants emerge, that people would be less protected by an Omicron booster as the virus itself changes?
Well, I think this is part of the reason that they kept the original version also. You know, that's been pretty successful over the summer. Even though some people haven't had boosters in some time, it still did a pretty good job of protecting against severe disease if you were up to date. I think, like you said, the problem with the future is that we don't know it. And obviously, we've gone through several variants. The good part is that right now, we've dealt with Omicron for some time, and we don't have a variant that's rising like we did, you know, every few months in the last year.
Let's talk about that updated vaccine. What kind of protection should someone expect from the newest version of the booster?
Well, I think the basic major rule is that the booster is focused on preventing severe disease and death. And that, of course, is the priority for vaccines through the whole COVID pandemic. So even, you know, over the summer, I think there was communication about those people that were at risk for severe disease and death should get a booster. And now that same main primary focus is the same, that we want people to get boosters to prevent severe disease and death. That, of course, brings up the question about, you know, if I'm not at risk, why should I get a booster? And, you know, that goes back to the fact that we think this is more focused. If more people get boosters and kind of up to date, the immune protection is the highest. We can create this wall of immunity. Some people will still get disease, but hopefully that disease will be much more mild and symptoms be less prolonged.
Are there people right now who should consider waiting to get this booster?
Well, the basics of the timing is that you can get this new booster if your last booster was 2 months or ago or further. I think, you know, there's kind of some discussion about what is the ideal time. This is balancing a little bit of, you know, what's available and, you know, the convenience of getting it while it's available. versus trying to time it. And as we know from this whole pandemic, it's been very difficult to anticipate, you know, surges of COVID disease. Sometimes we get a hint of it when cases rise, but by that time it's too late often because it takes some time for your immunity to build after a vaccine.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Shirley, who's the Medical Director of Infection Prevention at UW Health, and we want to hear from you. You can call 800-642-1234. Are you planning to get this latest booster shot? What questions do you have about it? Maybe you had been keeping up with vaccinations, or maybe you've fallen behind. Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Shirley, there's been some discussion about a lack of human testing for this latest booster in particular. What do we know about why we haven't seen it tested in human beings?
Well, you know, the bodies that do the kind of review, FDA and then the CDC as far as recommending it, have said that this vaccine has got the same essential backbone. It's essentially the same vaccine with just little tweaks of what it's targeting. And I think one way to think about this is how we do the flu vaccine. Obviously, this vaccine is way different than influenza, but basically each year we're trying to anticipate which strain of influenza is circulating in the southern hemisphere so we in the northern hemisphere can have the most protection. Sometimes it's not perfect, but each year the sort of risks of the vaccine are the same in that the core of the vaccine is the same each year. Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned about that or anything else related to this new booster or the change adding to hesitancy for people?
Yeah, I think that is kind of the jump here that we need to sort of look back at the data that we've had from all of the shots that people have gotten over the last couple of years to really judge the safety of this kind of core mRNA vaccine. And so far, that safety data in the trials that, you know, were extensive initially, and then what has happened over time have showed that these are very safe vaccines. We also have other versions of vaccines. You know, if someone was hesitant to kind of get a primary series with the mRNA vaccine, there are other versions available as well.
We've got a caller on the line now. I want to welcome Rick from Rhinelander. Hey, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 65 years old. I have been vaccinated, double boosted, and unfortunately, my wife and I both finally got COVID. It caught up with us here about 11 days ago, and we're recovering. We've had relatively mild symptoms, although we do have lethargy still and a little bit of congestion, and we'd like to get the new booster. However, the question is it safe for us to get the new booster, you know, just recovering from COVID, or should we wait a predetermined amount of time before getting boosted?
Rick, what a great question. Is it safe, Dr. Shirley, but also is it effective if they were to get the booster soon?
Yeah, this is a really good question and really quite complex. But as you stated, you had all the shots and hopefully that's, you know, a huge part of why you ended up with a fairly mild case of COVID. You know, there's a lot of complicated immunology involved in what happens if you had a vaccine and then you got COVID and then you got another booster. And there's obviously a lot of different scenarios there. In this case, where there was kind of a lot of vaccination and boosting and then infection, that infection is creating a lot of antibodies. And that likely protects you from what is circulating right now. It's overwhelmingly likely that you had BA4 or 5. And that will protect you against what's happening right now in the community for a certain amount of time. The question all along has been, how long does that protection last after an infection? And early in the pandemic, we were concerned that it wasn't very long, but, you know, data has shown that it does likely last several months. So there is kind of a sweet spot that we don't know for sure, but it's likely a couple months that you have to kind of wait before potentially getting this booster.
So
there might be a difference, you know, or a decision that with your doctor to kind of judge, you know, should I wait a little bit? And then how long is that little bit? Is it 3 months? Is it 1 month? But I think it's safe. It's just, how do you get the maximum impact from it?
Excellent. Rick, thank you so much for the question. We really appreciate it. You can join Rick by calling 800-642-1234. We're talking to Dr. Dan Shirley, who's the Medical Director of Infection Prevention at UW Health, with us today to talk about what you need to know about the new Omicron-targeting boosters that the CDC recommended last week. Stay with us. We continue the conversation here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the new Omicron-specific booster shots, how they work, what kind of protection they'll give. Dr. Dan Shirley with UW Health's Infection Prevention Department is with us, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got Catherine in Williams Bay ready to talk with us. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I'm a very healthy 68-year-old. Take no medication, have no health issues, but I'm planning on getting both the flu vaccine and the most current booster. I'm just wondering, it seems like overkill. I think this is probably ridiculous, but to get them both at the same time, but I wanted your thoughts, and if I should get one before the other, which would you recommend?
Catherine, thank you so much for that question. Dr. Shirley.
Yeah, you know, I think this question is on a lot of people's mind, including myself. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting both at the same time. Some people are weary of doing that just because it's two jabs at the same time and, you know, increased risk of local pain at the site of the injections, et cetera. But obviously, it's convenient to get them at the same time. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of balance here. Each year, we kind of go through this because of trying to anticipate when the flu season is. It's generally in the late fall and winter, but it moves around a little bit. And it's really difficult. You know, infectious disease doctors sometimes try to guess, you know, where's the best time to get my flu shot? And it's not easy to do. And so the convenience factor of when shots are available is really probably the major determining factor. And then some personal judgment about whether to get them both at the same time. We don't have any data to say, you know, flu shot before COVID shot or vice versa if you are going to separate them. But, you know, it's reasonable to spread them out just so you deal with the side effects if there are any from it and then get the next one.
That has been the case for quite a while, right? I mean, I think even over the wintertime with boosters, some pharmacies were offering flu shots at the same time if you choose to.
Yeah, so that's a good thing that we have some experience with this last winter as well. And really, I didn't hear too much about the people that got it at the same time having too much problem from that. And it really is about the convenience of it.
As we look ahead to this fall and this winter, what are public health officials expecting in terms of COVID-19 numbers?
Well, it's always a little hard to guess, but all respiratory viruses, which, you know, coronavirus or COVID is definitely one of, rise in the winter as people go inside. And that's, you know, includes schools for younger children, college for older young adults, and then even adults, just because of the weather, we go inside. And that, all of that leads to, you know, closer contact with people, more spread of things that are spread by close contact. So I think it's anticipated we'll have a rise. How fast and how high that rise goes has a lot to do with things like vaccination and other interventions that we all know so much about.
Mm-hmm. We've got Shelley from Madison who wants to talk with us now. Shelley, what's your question?
My question is, first of all, thank you for the show. I am fully vaccinated and boosted. I am wondering how the test, the current PCR test, how sensitive they are to the new variants that are coming out. Are they identifying them, partially because of all the false negatives that you hear about, et cetera? So how current are the tests in keeping up with the current variants?
Thanks for that question, Shelley. Dr. Shirley, what about testing as COVID-19 evolves?
So the core of the testing that we have is that PCR test, and that is still very, very sensitive. Sometimes we worry it's a little oversensitive in that it stays positive after you're better. The antigen test, so most of the home tests that you do, are a little more closely tied to, you know, the viral load you have or how much virus is around. But the problem is that they have a little bit less sensitivity, and that's what you hear about sometimes where people, you know, really have very convincing COVID symptoms for a day or something, do a test and it's negative, and then they retest and it's positive. One thing that's changed about the testing over time is that the incubation period of newer variants has decreased some. It's not necessarily known how that influences the test. I think the tests perform equally, like their PCR test will be the same for the new variants, but it's a little bit just different about, you know, when the symptoms happen and when you should test. But for the most part, for the usual case, you have symptoms that seem like COVID, you test and it's positive, either whether it's PCR or antigen.
Dr. Dan Shirley is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention at UW Health, and we're talking about COVID-19 and the boosters that have now changed and been updated to help protect against severe symptoms and death. You can call in for a few more minutes at 800-642-1234. Ask your question. Tell us about your experience. 800-642-1234. Dr. Shirley, we know that booster uptake has been slow here in Wisconsin. It's been slow across the U.S. What do you think it would take to make this booster more widely used?
It's a great question. I think, you know, the priority over the summer even was to get those people who are at risk for severe disease and death to get a booster. And it was mildly effective. A lot of people did get a booster. I think the next step, though, is to kind of, you know, just think about this as a reset. I know in the news nationally, there was some talk about, you know, will this end up being a seasonal thing like the influenza where we just do it each year? And I think that's definitely hope that we end up that way. We need some more data and to see, obviously, what happens with variants to know that. But really, you know, at the core of it, I think the booster is one very powerful tool that you could do to kind of cut down your own personal risk, but also the risk of those around you for getting severe COVID and having bigger problems.
What are you concerned about, if anything, when it comes to racial or ethnic disparities in who's actually going to get a booster shot?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge concern. I think each time we have something new, there's this distribution issue of how do we get it to the people at highest risk, but also fairly to all the people that need it or want it. And, you know, you'd think we'd be perfect at that by now, but it's always a little bit of a rocky start when we have something new to get it so that it gets to the people that don't have the ability to, you know, drive across the state to get a booster shot. That has to do, obviously, with making it available in lots of different forms, public health, pharmacies, you know, but even more, take it to the people and, you know, down the street being creative with that.
What would be success for Wisconsin with rolling out this new booster? What's the bar?
Well, bar one is to get it to those people that are at risk for severe disease and death. You know, that obviously is an important thing. The second layer is to get to people that just more widespread so that we can kind of cut down on the caseload as a whole. It's always a reminder that part of vaccination is your personal risk and decreasing that. But the other part is to just decrease how many cases are around so that we can protect the most vulnerable people in our community.
We do have people across the country who did not get vaccinated, and whether they've avoided COVID, didn't know they had COVID, or if they got COVID and figured, well, now I'm immune, I don't have to worry about it. What's your pitch for the vaccine overall if people have decided to opt out for some reason?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, now we have the benefit of data from the last couple of years of when vaccines are happening and infections are happening. And right now, now that we're in Omicron and a lot of people had infection, a lot of people had boosters, they are essentially about the same. And that means that it's never too late to get a booster. It's very powerful if you had a prior infection to then get a booster. It really ramps up your antibodies and probably protects you very well doing it that way. Obviously, the risk of that is that you had to go through COVID, so it doesn't feel good. And also, it's a risk to your personal health. We didn't talk too much about also decreasing the chance that you're going to end up with this thing that everybody says is long COVID. That's another reason to try to not get COVID in the first place. And so, you know, vaccine is really the only route. Obviously, if you're using infection to build your antibodies, you have to run all the risks of having COVID and then what, you know, proportion of people end up with long-term symptoms. So vaccine is always a good solution to try to decrease that caseload.
Sure. I think a lot of people were concerned because we do still have hundreds of people a day dying from COVID-19. But this long COVID, remind us a little bit what that looks like for some people.
You know, COVID does a lot of different things. Even people with mild infection, it can influence things like clotting and, you know, the long-term fatigue and other symptoms, which just seem to persist in some people longer than a normal infection. Studies are ongoing about, you know, how many people end up with those types of consequences and really what are the long-term effects besides just not feeling good? Is there long-term health consequences from just having a mild case of COVID?
Mm-hmm. So you have the potential for the initial infection and the symptoms there, but also the potential that this could go on for weeks, months, and at this point, years.
Right. And, you know, the reflexive answer to that or the question to that is, vaccines haven't been the greatest about preventing all of the transmission, but it does sort of a good theory is that if you have a more targeted vaccine, which is now what we have, that it might be a little bit better at preventing transmission or decreasing the symptom duration. And all of those things are powerful if we're talking about a whole population of people and decreasing the risk for everybody.
Dr. Shirley, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Dan Shirley. He's the Medical Director of Infection Prevention at UW Health with us today to talk about the CDC's recommendation of the new Omicron-targeting booster shots for COVID-19. Wisconsin health officials say they'll be rolled out across the state over the next several weeks.